the OTB Podcast Network.
We're doing our contender slot, and what is the truth about Galway? It's a perennial question. I'm delighted to say Michael Meehan is back with us to answer it this time. Michael, what is the truth about Galway? Good morning to you. Nice handy question to get us going.
Hey, Ger, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, so I suppose new year, hope springs eternal. Second season under Pádraig Joyce and his management team. And if we look back on last year, it was a tale of two seasons within one for everyone, but most noticeably for Galway. And just they weren't comparable from league to championship, and that's what, you know, just let them down. Or sorry, they weren't comparable pre-COVID, post-COVID, shall I put it, because we came back in September, October with league against Mayo and Dublin and championship against Mayo. And, you know, from a Galway's fans' perspective, they didn't hit the heights that they were hitting in the spring. You know, there were some really good games and really good performances under their belts. You know, I'm in Tuam here this morning for work, and down the road in Tuam Stadium, they hockeyed Tyrone. You know, it was 20-odd points, I think. So I think second year round, you know, Pádraig, although won't have a lot of hands-on time, I'm sure there's plenty of Zoom work done, just trying to work on philosophies and core beliefs and the pillars that they want to build on, the good stuff they want to build on last year. And just, you know, he's going to bring in a lot of new players. I threw my eyes over the panel there. There's a huge amount of youth in it. And having come from the under-20 squad as manager, Pádraig is bringing a lot of his players through. And I think we're going to see a big imprint on the team from Pádraig this year. You know, on the back of that, there's the retirements and there's people who've left the panel as well. So there's a lot of personnel change. And I think Pádraig will be pushing forward with his beliefs that he wants Galway to go, you know, not all guns blazing, but certainly, you know, attack, and put their best foot forward. And, you know, there's no margin for error with the condensed league and the knockout championship. So it's a pressure stakes environment. And I'm sure he's hoping that his young guns are just going to, you know, they're not going to shirk from it. They're going to stand up for it and give a good account of themselves.
Are there significant injuries and retirements? Or is there a bone of experience gone?
There is. So on the retirement front, Garrett Bradshaw and Gary Sice, you know, which would be two long-standing servants to Galway. A couple of players have left the panel. I suppose, again, most noticeably, Michael Daly, Ian Burke, Adrian Varley, Fintan O'Curran. And they're all guys who would have played a lot of championship, you know, for Galway over the last 6 or 7 years, or league and championship, essentially. And on the injury front, Killian McDade, who had returned from international rules and hooked up with Galway last year and had played a lot of football with Galway, he's just out for, I think he's a 12-week thing with a knee. So, like, unless you're getting to an All-Ireland semi-final or further, you know, that's his season as well. And he would have been one of the key players, you know, who would have come back into the panel. John Daly was one of Galway's best players in the earlier parts of last year in the league, especially until he hurt and picked up a serious knee injury, and he's been out for about 12 months at this stage, but he's making good progress. He's expected to return hopefully maybe towards the end of the league or championship, and to me he's a key player. He's a centre back, and he made that position his own last year. He's a young fella in his, you know, second or third season, so he's key if he can come back fit to Galway. So they're all the guys that are missing, you know. So there's a good turnover there. I suppose on the flip side, what you have, Ger, is you have the likes of Peter Cook returning. He took a year out and went to the States. The last time we saw him play for Galway, he kicked 4 points from midfield against Mayo in Limerick, albeit in a Super 8 game, albeit, you know, Mayo went on to win well that day, but he had a strong performance from midfield. So there's a lot of people around Galway excited to have him back. And then you have the, you know, there's a lot of under-20s who won the All-Ireland late last year, who are coming back into the fold as well. So, you know, there's a lot of change, a lot of turnover in that panel.
Pádraig Joyce was saying that Peter Cook is the first man to come back from New York in good shape. So that's positive news for Galway this year. Like, when it comes to analysing what actually happened last year, like, I mean, as you say, COVID was just, Galway seemed to be the team most affected by that long layoff. I wonder though, did the nature of the defeat to Mayo in the league have an impact as well, Michael? Just the way it was such a hammering, and there was always the sense that they were going to go toe-to-toe again in a meaningful game. And while that was a closer game, I wonder, was their mentality affected a little bit by what had happened a few weeks previous?
Yeah, I agree, Owen. It's hard, you know, to take a trimming like that and so quickly have to come back to it. There's always going to be a bounce back and a motivation to do so, but I think it knocks the stuffing out of you. And I believe that would have had an impact. Now, you got to remember, there was still a very fine margin. It was a one-point victory in Salt Hill that day in Mayo's favour. Now, Mayo, they weren't efficient up front. They had a lot of pot-shotting, and I'm sure they learned a lot from that experience. But in the first half, Galway were just turning ball over easily. It was being kicked into the full forward line, and it was coming back twice as quick. So, you know, there was a very fine margin in it. You know, whenever in the championship fixture, the seeds of doubt may have been sown, you know, from the trimming in the league. But I suppose what you got to remember is every game, quite famously, takes on a life of its own, as we know. And you know, whereas Galway might have went in with those seeds of a little bit of doubt into that championship match in Pearce Stadium, and maybe that's what kind of left them, you know, very, very off the mark in the first half. I think they realised then that, hang on a second here, Mayo were there for the taking, and it very nearly could have happened. So, you know, as a player, again, you have to kind of take it upon yourself not to carry the weight of that and just go on to the next fixture, the next match, you know, with a hardened mind that, you know, this is our day and nothing can happen here. So I'm sure that a lot of Galway's, when they look back on 2020, it would be around those two Mayo games. Or, you know, it's just the performances in those games. The fact that it was Mayo, it doesn't really account for much, but it's the performances in those two games.
At the same time, like, Mayo were definitely the second best team in Ireland last year. I don't think anybody kind of argued with that. Yeah. So that must be the positive message that Pádraig Joyce is hammering home, that even though post-COVID there wasn't a great Galway performance there, it was still a kick of a ball between them and Mayo at the end of the day. So on a positive note, that must be the thing that's being hammered home.
Oh, I've no doubt. I've no doubt. And so it should be. And I know there's a lot of other factors at play there, just with the way it was straight to an All-Ireland semi-final for Mayo in the year that was in the year that it was. But yeah, and again, as a player, that's something you're going to have to, you know, cling on to, or just certainly have at the back of your mind in everything that you're doing. And especially now that the year that's in it, we have the traditional provincial status, and if Galway are to progress, they have to beat Roscommon and more than likely face Mayo. And then you're to an All-Ireland semi-final again. So it's a real old school, you know, win your province kind of year again. And I'm sure very much that's on the radar for Galway.
I can't see Mayo being happy about facing Galway in a Connacht final this year with the way that last year went. And like, are Mayo going to improve significantly from last year? A big question. Obviously, they will think they will, but yeah. Like, Galway came back from that trimming and ran them to a point, despite the fact going into the match, we were all like, Jesus, there's no way Galway are going to be able to come back from the absolute hammering that they took. So I don't know, the way you talked about it at the start, it felt a little bit like an NFL team getting a draft through of all the best young college players. So there must be incredible excitement about that crop of youngsters and how quickly they can bed in.
Definitely. Now, one kind of caveat on that, I suppose, Jerry, is that these are now under 20s. They're not under 21s. Okay, so if you rewind 5, 6, 7 years ago, you know, or maybe 10 years ago, the step up from under 21 to senior wasn't as wide as the step up from under 21 to senior is now in terms of conditioning, etc. And all of a sudden, the guys, they're a year younger coming through. So there is, it's only the real cream of the crop that will make the step up, you know, seamlessly as a 20 or a 21-year-old. But you would hope that there are a few there. We had, you know, Paul Kelly was an under 20 last year, and he stepped in and he started the championship against Mayo. There's the likes of, you know, Jack Lynn. He was under 20 captain last year. He's a Tigerish cornerback. He was man of the match in the All-Ireland final. So he's another guy who has gone from a feeder squad outside of the main squad that Galway are running up to the main squad, which is, you know, maybe 36 or 8 players. But, you know, he's put his hand up, and there's a couple of guys like, you know, Matthew Tierney has been a super player for a couple of years for Galway underage as well. and this pedigree there. So there's a lot of excitement. And again, if you take from what Mayo did with how they brought through the raft of young players, especially last year under James Horan, you know, if you can mirror that as well, you know, there's a sense of, well, if Mayo can do it, Galway can do it, or, you know, whoever else can do it as well. So, of course, it's not as simplistic as that, but at the same time, you need those things as players to kind of to motivate yourself, or as management to kind of say, look, this isn't uncharted water here. I think the interesting at the back of it all is just James Horan back in charge of Mayo, and, you know, his successful record against Mayo as a manager in his first stint, and then he's bounced back since again, and he's gone and won it back over Galway. So, you know, if and when a game comes down the road, Galway Mayo, you know, that'll be a little sideshow as well to it.
One thing we've been asking everybody in these preview slots, Michael, is about the team's identity. And with Galway, it felt over the last year under Padraic Joyce, regardless of results here and there, there has been more of a connection with what Galway football should be all about. My question to you is it a style of football that will get them back to the last four once again, like the Kevin Walsh style of play did in 2018?
Yeah, so you're right. When you think of identity, and I think that the team's identity is changing from what it was in Kevin Walsh and during his era. And we know, you know, the core principles of what he did and where he brought the team. So Padraic, you know, would have openly acknowledged that, you know, he's trying to change it somewhat. Now he's not throwing everything out. If you think back to that game against Mayo in the championship last year, there was large elements where they, you know, there was a retreat, there was defend in numbers. I think he's just, as the player that he was and how he liked the game to be played, Padraic, it's go forward and go fast. You know, go forward ball and get it moving fast. And he was always a believer in, you know, the ball will travel faster than the man. Foot passing and direct play is going to be part of his identity. It's something that we saw last year. And I'd say it's throughout the, you know, games are going to come thick and fast now. We're going to see them trying a lot of things to try and bed in come championship. And it's hard to believe championship's only 7 weeks away for Galway and Roscommon, that they want to bring the identity, I think, directness, a hardened championship outfit, you know, a difficult team to beat, a team that are dogged and determined as well. And if you can bring that with just that little bit more of directness and to kind of utilise some of the key players that Galway have in the likes of maybe Shane Walsh and you know, Damien Comer, I'd love to see a huge season from him. He's had a checkered few seasons, primarily through injury and been absent in that regard. But if you can utilise the likes of Damien, you know, we haven't really seen him under the mark system. And, like, you know, he could be frightening if and when he's used at the right times in the right way. So, Owen, you're saying, is it going to bring them back to a semi-final? I believe it can. It you have to bring the best of everything. You have to bring the best of that attacking directness. You have to bring the dogged determinedness, the tightness at the back, you know, the funneling players back. Like, every team is doing it anyway. It's nothing new. It's there from what Kevin Walsh had done as well. It's just to tip the scales in the favour of forwards then in the attacking sense.
Michael, good stuff. We'll let you get to work. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Cool, guys. See ya.
Michael Meehan there giving us his thoughts. That's pretty exciting. If you're a Galway fan, listen to that. You were coming into this going, nah. You were essentially writing Galway off the record here. I'm opening the kimono.
The exact opposite. You can pull back.
You were like, Galway, no chance. They've got all those players missing.
I'm all up for the curtain being pulled back and everything. That is not what I said whatsoever. I think actually, yes, those players missing are a factor in maybe them getting over the line this year or going further than last year. But they're in a really, like, they were the best team to watch in football for a good section of last year, and that was in crap conditions. Let's not forget they were playing that football in the middle of winter, and then when they came back, there was, like, Padraic Joyce I think it was earlier this week, he was doing his press conference. He said that there was, like, they had 18 or 19 lads for training for one of their first county sessions once they came back. Like, I mean, we had Davey on the show earlier on, and Wexford were obviously a little bit hampered by what happened on a club level last year. with like no disrespect to the club game, it's just every county was doing it differently and some counties got affected by it. I think Galway actually were one of those counties who got affected by it as well. And like, I mean, 18 or 19 lads at an inter-county session, no, it's not exactly what you'd expect. So I think there is a lot of legitimate reasons why Galway didn't perform.
And there were only a point behind that Mayo team. I'm not convinced that Mayo were the second best team. I'm not happy to just shoo them into that position.
Last year, I think they were.
Like, I'd like to have seen them go up against Tyrone in Championship. I'd like to have seen them go up against Donegal in Championship. I think those games were pretty close to being the toss of a coin.
Yeah, like maybe. But you see, the thing with Mayo is that it's always looked on paper like that should be the case, that they may not be the second best team in the country, and then all of a sudden you actually see them play. And Donegal are a great example. When it came down to it the year before, I know it was in Castlebar, but it was the winner goes to the semi-final, yeah, and Mayo beat them.
Yeah.
And that's when Mayo show up, except if it's an All-Ireland, unfortunately.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.